On Friday, Drake dropped his long-awaited sixth album, Certified Lover Boy. It's generated conversation around everything from its many guest stars to its cover art, which features a diverse array of emoji pregnancies. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are talking about Drake's new album, Certified Lover Boy, on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor FX, presenting the original series Impeachment, American Crime Story. The third installment of FX's limited series examines the national crisis that led to the first impeachment of a U.S. president in over a century through the eyes of the women at the center of the events, Monica Lewinsky, Linda Tripp, and Paula Jones. Impeachment, American Crime Story, premieres Tuesday, September 7th at 10 p.m., only on FX.
Welcome back. Joining me is music writer Kiana Fitzgerald. Welcome back, Kiana.
Hey, Stephen. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for being here. So, Drake. if we are to sum up Drake, he is a singer, he's a rapper, an actor, a brand, an entrepreneur, a four-time Grammy winner, a meme factory, a hit factory, and a maker of very long albums like Certified Lover Boy. It's his first since 2018's Scorpion. This album contains 21 songs in 86 minutes with features from the likes of Jay-Z, Travis Scott, Future, Lil Wayne, and many, many more. Given that Drake has been streamed tens of billions of times on Spotify alone, it's no surprise that Certified Lover Boy is already a huge hit. Kiana, you and I have spent a bunch of hours with this record already. Give me some of your, I'm guessing, many, many thoughts on Drake in general and Certified Lover Boy in particular.
Sure. So I have a very long relationship with Drake's music. I've written about this. I've talked about it. I've just about said as much as I can about Drake since the moment I realized who he was. I became familiar with him when he was on Degrassi, which was the kind of teen soap opera show. And he was an identifiable character, but he didn't really stand out much from everyone else. And then he started rapping in the late 2000s. I immediately was like, oh, what's this? I have to pay attention. And I became an immediate fan. So I've been listening to him for over a decade now. And this album really represents him in the fact that, like, his music has, since day one, been very revelatory. He's always been very open about who he is, what he desires, what he wants. And now his life has changed a lot since those days. So it's interesting because he still feels the need to share his experiences with us, like, very transparently. But his experiences are very different than what we were accustomed to when he first came out. He's trying to familiarize himself with us and be like, hey, you know, I'm still here. I'm still Drake. But Drake's life is extravagant and opulent and all over the place in a lot of ways. So the album, I think, represents that.
Do you like it?
I mean, you know, we've spent a few hours with it so far. And at this point, I could see myself listening to it quite a few more times in the next couple of days. And that's a good thing, because usually when an album drops, I listen to it and I'm like, okay, let me put that to the side for, you know, a couple of days and see what happens when I come back to it. But this album, I'm like, okay, I want to dig more into it. I want to get into the features. I wanted to get more into identifying the production, the samples. So there's a lot to excavate here. And I look forward to doing that.
Okay. I have a little bit, I mean, certainly a less thoroughgoing relationship with Drake's music. I have not been a Drake completist over the years. I've spent much more time living with the singles, as mm-hmm. we all have, as anybody who tunes into a radio station can attest. And I continue to find him a little exhausting. Mm. I think I like Drake the singer a little bit more than Drake the rapper. I think as a rapper, he can feel a little indistinct, especially when he's paired up with, you know, people like Jay-Z, who, you know, who are just so instantly identifiable as themselves. So yeah. I also find his tendency to overstuff his albums. This is his third straight album that is more than 80 minutes long. Yeah. He feels a lot like a singles artist, right? Like, he's so known mm-hmm. specifically for singles, and then his fans dig deep on his full albums. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like being hit with this flood of more than 80 minutes of new Drake music, I found myself, as I was re-listening to it, starting to latch on to songs, but found the experience of listening to the whole album to feel a little deadening after a while. Mm-hmm. My way of making fun of Drake over the years has been to kind of sing all his songs to the tune of, I feel sorry for myself. Like, if you edited out all the self-pity on this 86-minute record, you'd have, like, a pretty good EP.
I don't disagree.
So it's interesting. I feel like embracing Drake as an artist entails a certain amount of taking the transcendent with the kind of eye roll inducing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a lot of work, you know? It's not easy to be a fan of Drake, especially when, you know, he does kind of put out these very bloated albums, which he's been doing for the past several years. I prayed that this would be a 45-minute album. I was like, please. And then I was like, okay, we're in for twice that. Okay. But my guess is, I think Drake wants to have his songs fill out the top 10 on Billboard. And yeah. I think that this is his way of throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. And I know myself personally, I tend to, when he drops an album, I'll listen to it quite a few times and then I'll be like, okay, let me pare this down to what I actually like here. And it'll be like pretty much a 45-minute album. So I'm like, he could do that. But I guess he wants to give us an opportunity to explore everything that he's thinking and feeling and emoting. I get what you mean when you say that it was an exhausting experience.
I like that we're all Drake's editor. And in this day and age, we can all be Drake's individual editor. Well, you were talking about whittling this record down to 45 minutes, and obviously we're both pretty new to this record, but do you want to tell us about some of what you saw as highlights from this record, like some of your favorite songs?
Absolutely. So the first track that really stood out to me was Love All featuring Jay-Z. That song, like as soon as he started rapping, I was like, this is the Drake that I love. Like this is the iteration of him that feels most authentic, that feels most moving. And it reminded me of some of his older work as well. There are a couple of other tracks that kind of harken back as well. But this is the first one that I was like, this is like, beside Jay-Z, he can't BS. He has to give it 100%. And I think he did that. Never had a lot, this is all I need. People never care till it's RIP. Niggas turn their back on me for no good reason. Loyalty is priceless and it's all I need. Can't burn a bridge just to light my way. Lot of 42 on the flights I'm taking. Pouring out my soul and it might sound crazy.
Yeah, I think it's sort of interesting, like Drake and Kanye West are sort of orbiting each other like binary stars right now. Mm-hmm. Like Kanye just dropped a record a week before that has Jay-Z on it. Drake drops a record this weekend, Jay-Z's on it. And he does force the people around him to raise their games.
Absolutely. And feature-wise, there are a lot of usual suspects that appear on both Kanye's album and Drake's album. It's just a dynamic that is becoming more and more curious as time goes on.
Well, yeah, speaking of features, one song that jumped out at me immediately, especially as I was going through this record a second time, it just pops out of the mix, is Fair Trade, which features Travis Scott. That mm-hmm. song to me has the makings of one of those songs like God's Plan or Hotline mm-hmm. Bling that you're going to like hear on the radio for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Just kind of instantly distinct, very memorable chorus. And again, yeah. Like two guys who are both kind of working at the top of their games. Outside, 29, G5, Seaside. I've been losing friends and finding peace. But honestly, that sound like a fair trade to me. If I ever heard one and I'm still here outside, front line. I can instantly see this song, as you said, like the chorus is like losing friends and finding peace. And I'm like, oh, that's an Instagram caption. Like immediately, right. It's the first thing that I thought. Yeah. And that's one of the things that Drake is best at, isn't it?
Yeah.
Giving meme makers something to work with. I mean, if you look at this ridiculous cover art, yeah. You know, it's been floating around for just like a week or so. And it has already been turned into a meme by Lil Nas X and mm-hmm. you know, everybody else where, you know, he manages to stay in the conversation through memes very, very effectively.
Yeah, he's been really good at that for a long time. And I think it's because Drake is a little bit older than me. He's 34, I'm 32. And I think it's safe to say that we both kind of grew up with the internet, not as much as, you know, the younger kids these days, but he definitely knows how to utilize it as a tool. And not only for like his projects, but the conversation around his projects. I think he's very effective at that.
Give us another highlight.
Yes. So this one is close to my heart because he samples a Texas rap song called Get Throwed by Bun B, Pimp C. I believe Jay-Z is on the official version, and another artist named Zero, and then another artist named Jeezy. It's like a big old posse cut, but it really heavily samples the production from that song. And as soon as I heard it, I like clutched my chest. I was like, oh my God, he's doing this? Like, I couldn't believe it. So yeah, he flipped the sample, and I think this is when I became invested in the album. And this is probably, I want to say about halfway through, a little less than halfway through. And it was just a welcome change of pace in terms of like, I think he's singing on it. And as you said earlier, he can be a little bit more efficient with his musicality if he's singing rather than rapping. So yeah, this is one that I really, really like. Show you just who I was outside of the club. Outside the things that a man like me does. Outside of the things that would cause you to judge. Outside of the club. So that was In Too Deep. And again, that was a very Texas heavy song. And as someone who is from Texas myself, it's probably my favorite song on the project so far. Drake is very... he loves Houston. He loves Texas. He pays homage with pretty much every project that he puts out to that region. So it wasn't a surprise to me, but it was a pleasant occurrence.
Well, you mentioned samples, and I do think it's worth acknowledging a couple of the kind of downsides of this record that have that have surfaced since it dropped. One being that the song TSU samples an R. Kelly song. And channeling songwriting royalties to R. Kelly is not a great look. It kind of adds, I don't know, to this whole notion that like anytime you're listening to a Drake record, you're getting so much kind of dropped in your lap that you're kind of bound to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, it's it's disappointing for sure. I didn't realize what the sample was when I first heard it. And then upon doing some research, I saw that, you know, he sampled R. Kelly's Half on a Baby. And, you know, growing up, my mother was a huge fan of R. Kelly. So she's since passed away. So it's been really difficult for me to separate that music from the memories that I had with her. So I have like this very sore spot toward R. Kelly because of, you know, I feel like he took something away from me and so many other people, obviously. But, you know, it's very personal. So when I saw that Drake had given him a spotlight, I was like, why? You know, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and a revenue stream.
Yeah.
There's always a certain amount of queasiness that comes with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I even found, honestly, just given the timing of news events, I mean, obviously you are a Texas person, in the last week, to have that cover kind of making light of pregnancy the way that it does, even that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, he just... he giveth and he taketh away kind of at the same time. It goes back to the thing that I was saying about him being exhausting. He's talented. And I think he's made work that's really worthy of celebration. But at the same time, there's always just an eye roll like lurking in the back of my head at all times with him.
Yeah. And, you know, it would make for a better listening experience if I didn't constantly have to think about that in the back of my head. Like, I like TSU, you know, before I found out about the sample, you know, I heard like the Swisha House, you know, OG Ronci, who is a co-creator of Swisha House, is at the top of the song and he shouts out all these Texas regions. He shouts out San Antonio, which is where I currently am. So I was so excited. And, you know, for me to later find out about this credit, I was like, well, shucks, you know, like now I can't listen to it the same way.
Well, I wanted to give you an opportunity. Let's end on a high note. Do you have another song from this record you want to shout out?
Yeah, I'll talk about the final track. It's called The Remorse. And this is like the Drake that always gets me to sit up and pay attention. He's very introspective, but at the same time, his usual distance is there. He's not cold, but he is calculated in how he's saying the things that he has to relay. And you know, he's just very smart about how he approaches these very contemplative songs, where he's kind of pouring his heart out, but at the same time keeping us at arm's length. So yeah, he talks about his anxiety, which is something that a lot of people can relate to. It's just a very meditative track that I think a lot of people would be happy to end on.
What would you do if it wasn't this? That's a hard one. The finish line is where I like to pull up and start from. Pain is just a place that I go to get the bars from. Anxiety's a drug that I use to get the job done. Delusional's a space I like to think that I'm far from. My son is the one thing I hate to be apart from. Bet against me, don't know where they're getting the odds from. I know that when it's done, I'm going where.
Yeah, that's the remorse. I agree with you. I think he closes this album on a really appropriately contemplative note, and I think it ends on a very, very strong high note.
Yeah.
Well, we want to know what you think about Certified Lover Boy. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Kiana, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you again.
One last thing before we go, we are going to be talking about The Sopranos, and we want your questions. You can email us a voice memo with your question to pchh@npr.org. Again, you can send us a voice memo with your question to pchh@npr.org. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about the Hulu series, Only Murders in the Building.